Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Mr. Mike Porky Parry,
yes.
I put it to you,
yes,
that it is time that we serviced our listeners once more.
I agree.
With the thing that they want the most out
yes,
of life,
right? Yes.
Which is your advice.
Exactly.
Your wisdom.
Exactly. You use the word serviced, you know, in the right sort of context, please.
Well, I'm not suggesting
okay.
anything
you know
other
I mean?
Than in a family show
yeah,
type
yeah,
way.
Yeah.
I'm not asking you to service anybody's wife or anything.
Excuse me.
Like you may
me.
Have done in the past.
you know, I'm not having this, you know, family show and all that.
Exactly
okay?
right. Now.
But what you mean is provide guidance, yes. leadership, succor, and comfort. That's
invaluable,
what you mean, isn't it?
Invaluable wisdom,
yeah,
as
yeah,
I said.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's Ask Porky.
Okay.
People have sent in their requests and their questions by the hundreds, by the way.
Excellent.
By the hundreds. So the first question.
I wish I could answer hundreds.
Yeah, we might be able
time.
To get to all of them, but
yeah.
if you stop blathering yeah. on, we might be able to get through quite a lot of them in the next half hour or so.
Yeah.
This is, of course, the On The Record podcast. This is Ask Porky.
Mm.
Brad says, have you ever watched any motocross? And if so, were you impressed?
Motocross is where these guys dress up in leathers, they get on a bike with no brakes,
no.
and they go up and down hills
yeah. Very muddy,
and
isn't
gullies
it?
And all that. Very muddy and mm. all that. A revolting sport, in my view. I have no idea why people do it. And when I was a kid and I worked in the petrol station in Chester, OK?
Yes.
There was a... There
when
was
you
a,
used to steal the diesel.
No, I didn't. I came to an understanding with somebody who worked at Shell Oil Refinery
uh-huh.
in Stanlow, which was quite close, one hmm. of the biggest in Europe, you know. But let me tell you this.
Yeah.
There was a speedway track nearby in a place called Ellesmere Port.
Yes.
And the speedway
but
guys...
But speedway's not the same as motocross,
no, let
is
me
it?
Just tell you this.
Yeah.
Speedway guys used to come in and they were quite clean and it was mm. all fine.
Yeah.
And then sometimes on a Sunday,
yeah.
all these guys from Cheshire, you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
where they literally dug pits and all that for the speedway riders to go in. They'd come in on a Sunday to fill up with fuel.
Yeah.
They were just filthy bastards, you
covered
know.
In
they,
mud.
They were covered in mud.
It's
the cars were covered in mud.
Yeah.
But they never even had a bloody shower after
right.
they'd finished and all this.
Well,
and
maybe they were going home for a shower.
In, and they were all, you know, badge of honour. Look how much mud I've got caked over my face and all this.
Right.
Filthy bastards.
So,
didn't like them.
I
don't
guess
like
that's
it.
A no then.
Yeah.
Question number two from the Ask Porky catalogue
yeah.
from Sean. Porky, do you think I should invest more in my work pension or buy a new Rolex and a Beatles pen? What will have the best appreciation over the years?
Well, I think you're taking a mickey there. You should only buy a Rolex and a Beatles pen if you've got spare money.
Mm.
If you want to invest in your pension...
Have you got
that's,
spare money, then?
I've got any spare money. I haven't got any spare money. I have to look after my family.
After
I have to look after, you know, those people that rely on me and all
yeah.
that kind of stuff. Let me just tell you this. Investing in pensions was okay when you and I, Mike, were growing up in
yeah.
Fleet Street and all that kind of stuff.
Mm.
The pension industry was fine. Then Gordon Brown came along
yeah.
and smashed the pension industry to pieces by telling people, oh, no, dividends off pensions, which used to be tax-free,
yeah.
so people could make provisions for their age, that you know, their old
age. Yeah.
And by the way, that idiot Brown never saw the fact that people were going to live longer and longer and longer,
yeah.
would need more and more of their
he
own money.
He was former Chancellor of
the
Exchequer
bastard,
and Prime Minister. I don't think
the bastard.
Hang on, you've already called the motocross
yeah,
guys
yeah,
bastards.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You just call everybody a bastard.
No. What he did then is he said, I'll
what
tell you what, we'll have a 40% dividend now.
Mm.
40% tax on
yeah.
dividends from pension funds.
Yes.
Pension funds were bringing in £5 billion a year in return
yeah.
to help old people
uh-huh.
look after their old age.
Uh-huh.
What did Gordon Brown do? No, bollocks to you. You're not going to look after your old age. I'm having it.
Yeah, right.
And he raised $5 billion
a year. So you're saying he should buy a Rolex then?
What I'm saying is be very careful on pensions these days. They don't return what they used to. My advice has always been and always will be, put your money in bricks and mortar.
Okay.
And how many paintings.
How many houses do you own?
I'm not going into that.
No.
I have a portfolio. I don't even manage the portfolio. Right. I don't know how many houses I've got any one time. It's as simple as that.
All right. Dave says this. How do you feel about young children's dreams being shredded on the Voice Kids TV reality show?
I've never seen it. Voice Kids reality TV show, I've never seen. If children are being exploited so that adults can laugh at their lack of ability to know what's going on in life, their ignorance, because kids are ignorant, and their sheer inability to grasp what's going on in the world, then the people who watch that are filth.
Okay.
Filth.
You seem to be very angry today.
Well, I'm sorry, but this is Ask Porky, and I am battling for my flock.
Duncan says this, Porky, is it safe now to go for a holiday in Russia? I've always wanted to go, but it's clear people are very anti-Russia.
People aren't anti-Russia. Since the end of the World Cup a couple of weeks ago, people are very pro-Russia.
They are.
Because what happened was Russia...
Even old Donald Trump.
Even old Donald Trump.
He can't decide whether he knows the word wood or
wooden leg.
I wouldn't go there.
No.
Or would you?
No. But let me tell you this. Mm. The most fantastic PR job, and Russia, far from being the pariah state that many thought it was before the World
Cup. Gangsters.
Gangsters and all that, has come out of it shining like a beacon of light and hope. However, let me tell you this.
Yes.
If you go to Russia, it's great to go to Moscow, great to go to St. Petersburg, but if you're, you know, going on your own or with a mate or something like that, beware of the demon drug that a Russian hooker could drop into your drink in a swanky hotel.
Well, don't go to swanky hotels.
You could wake up in a bedroom with your wallet missing and maybe lots more.
And your dignity possibly as well. Luke says, what was your first car?
My first car was a Vauxhall Viva.
Yeah.
And it was a 1969 model, which I actually bought in 1973.
Second hand?
Yeah, of course it was second hand. £365.
And how much did you sell it for?
Well, I sold it to a mug who didn't know that the engine had blown up, you know. And in fact...
How much did you get for it, though?
About £365,
so
actually.
So you didn't lose any money?
No, didn't lose any money at all.
Shocking.
And it was a turquoise colour, because turquoise was big in those days.
Uh-huh.
And it had plastic seats. Yeah. And the reason I know that is it was a hot summer.
Is this the one that had the hole in the floor as well?
No. That wasn't. No, that was a Triumph car, which I had to buy later when I was working in Newcastle and I was broke and I had to flee to Birmingham. Vauxhall Viva.
Vauxhall Viva. Darren says, is 42 too old to consider a career change?
42 is never too old to consider any sort of a change. You want a career change, then make a career change. Mm. I've had several career changes. I used to be...
Some of them enforced.
I used to be a giant in the newspaper... Just shut it, will you? I used to be a giant in the newspaper industry, then became a giant in the radio industry.
Right. And then what happened?
I have been a speculator in the property market.
Oh, really?
I've been an entrepreneur in several other... I don't know, because I don't have them in my portfolio. Mm. They're buying and selling them all the time, because that's the way the market works, okay?
Yeah.
And so, at 42... You are not even halfway through your life, probably, because you're going to live till 85 these days. And I think if you're bored in your job and it's getting you down, go for it for a change.
Okay. How about this one from Ross, who says, Porky, what is your opinion of what's going on at Newcastle United with just weeks to go until the end of the transfer window and we have only spent £4 million?
Yeah.
Will Ashley spend some cash?
No, we won't spend any cash because Rafa Benitez, who we learned a week or so ago, was actually offered the Spanish job to manage the Spanish national team at the World Cup. Yeah,
right, was this before
in Moscow
or after they went?
Spain sacked their coach 3 days
they
before
did.
The competition.
Yeah.
First man offered the job was Rafa Benitez.
Uh-huh.
He's held in massive esteem both in Spain and around the world.
Yeah.
He turned that down because he said, look, I can't really get into that. I've got to work for Newcastle across the summer. Rafa Benitez now has to sell players before he can buy them at Newcastle.
Mm.
He's a very unhappy man, but because he's an honourable man, he has said he will stay with Newcastle this season, but this is the last season you will see Rafa Benitez as the boss of Newcastle
That's
United.
That's a bold statement, that.
It's a true statement. Mike Ashley said there is no money. Rafa is fed up to his back teeth.
Okay, here's one from Rob. He says, if you could have dinner with any one of these three, who would it be? And the list is as follows.
Yeah.
Vladimir Putin.
Yeah.
Or Putin, as Trump calls him. Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Or Adolf Hitler.
I wouldn't want anything to do with Adolf Hitler, the most venomous and disgusting man in the history of the world.
Yeah.
If I walked into him and Adolf Hitler was there, I'd punch him in his fucking little mustachioed mouth.
He's
okay?
Very angry today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's a
I would. Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Utterly terrific, you know, an icon like that. Vladimir Putin is a bit of a legend and all that kind of stuff.
A legend. How do you mean?
In terms of political mystery. Mm. So the guy I'd go for, without a shadow of a doubt, would be Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'd say to him, just to for a bit of a laugh, I'd say, Elvis, how are you? Good to see you. Please don't step on my blue suede shoes.
Well, the other advantage, of course, of going for dinner with Elvis Presley is that you might find that he brings Priscilla along with him.
Priscilla's a very gorgeous woman.
Fine-looking woman.
She starred in Dallas.
Right.
She was...
Do you remember that scene from Naked Gun when she was in that?
Yes, I do.
Was it Naked Gun 2.5?
Yes, I think it was.
When she's climbing up the ladder. And Leslie Nielsen's looking up the ladder.
Oh, no. Not Have looking not under that? A skirt, is he?
Well, he's not, but it's a very funny scene.
Well, I mean, I don't like that. I don't like women taking advantage
he
of.
He makes it a rather crude statement. Yeah. But it's not about her.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, it sounds like it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't like women to be victimised like that.
Objectified.
Now, let me tell you this.
I'm telling you.
In Dallas, she was the squeeze of Barbie...
Bobby Ewing, yeah, Bobby the man Ewing. From Atlantis.
Man from Atlantis, Bobby Ewing, that's right, yeah. And, of course, he was mad to have even got involved with her because Bobby's first wife, who
Victoria Principal,
yeah.
What happened to her? Did he divorce her or something?
No, she smashed herself up in a car crash and the plastic surgery didn't go well afterwards, so she'd never see him again.
Oh, what, you mean she couldn't see anymore?
No, she didn't want Bobby to see her as a hag with with burnt skin.
That's a bit harsh.
And that was, by the way, after Bobby died and then came back in the shower.
Is that right?
Yes.
Okay, that was ridiculous, that, wasn't it? Jim says, this Portmeister, if you were on a desert island discs, what would be your luxury item? And it cannot be a Rolex or anything Beatles related.
Okay, my luxury item would be... a DAB radio,
right?
So I could tune in to all sorts of radio from around the world.
Like what?
Well, in particular,
you don't want to listen to any other radio unless you're on it.
Exactly, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, you wouldn't be on it, would
you? Yeah, I would be.
If you're on a desert island,
no.
You only listen to your own radio.
No, I would be, because I'd want to listen to all the past programmes I've been on over the years, and there are thousands of them.
Well, then you don't need to DAB radio for that.
They're all quality.
Yeah, but hang on, you don't need a DAB radio
for
that. Well,
you need some kind of recording advice. No, I would download the stuff I've done in the past. I'd make sure that happened.
You can't do that on a radio.
You can pick them off satellites. Believe me,
rubbish.
I know these things.
No,
I know
don't.
These things.
You know what you're talking about.
And the only other thing I want as a luxury item would be, each day, a corned beefed butty.
And that would be your luxury item?
Yes,
who's going to bring you a fucking corned beef butty
on
a desert
island? Well, that's what my luxury item would be. I'd want one every day.
Well, does it say you've got a
slave? Well, some guy would have to swim there, wouldn't he? And bring it in a waterproof...
In a waterproof pack?
Pack, yeah. No. Yeah.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Next question on Ask Porky, Mr. Porkmeister, from Thomas. If you achieved all of your life's goals, how would you feel? What do you want your legacy to be?
My legacy?
Yeah.
My legacy is...
That's not a car, by the way.
No, I know that. My legacy is that he left the world in a much better state than when he came into the world, okay? Because I would have improved things enormously for a lot of people. I've been very happy to be kind to people during the course of my life. I've helped people. I've paid their bills. I've helped them get through difficult situations. No bastards ever helped me, okay? So I'm not even going to
get...
Are you
sure about that?
I'm never going to get bitter about that. Yeah. I'm never getting bitter about the fact that no bastards ever helped me.
What about
I've helped people throughout my life,
what
okay?
What about members of your family who may have helped you?
Well, of course they helped me. Members of your family are supposed to help you and all that, but nobody outside that's helped me. I've helped a load of bums in the past, right?
That's
the
only been thing, your misfortune.
The only thing I've ever got back, you know, is real... Real treachery, and you bums out there know who you are, and believe me, the Porkmeister is looking at you.
I see. Ian says this, what's your opinion on Mr. Trump, Porky? You two seem to have a lot in common. Yeah. Do you think he needs a checkup from the neck up?
No, I don't.
Ian
no,
is in
no.
Canada.
No, Mr. Trump is President Trump. He's President of the United States of America. Basically does what he wants. Very outspoken man. Loud and, I would say, specific, for want of another word. And he gets on with it the way he wants to do it. So the answer to your question is he was voted in democratically. It seems to me, I've seen some opinion polls lately in America, he's going to run for a second term. He's told that already to our friend Piers Morgan. And he's probably got a very good chance of getting there. He may not be everybody's cup of tea, but he speaks like most other politicians think. And for that, a lot of people admire him.
OK. Rob says, Porky, who would you rather work for, the Students' Union or Russia?
Very strange question. The Students' Union are a bunch of bums who...
Well, certainly not all of them.
Yeah, they are. They're a bunch of bums who don't actually do any work. In fact, funny enough, I was coming up the A3 the other day from my place on the south coast, and there's a car in front of me which was colourful. I mean, not quite as bad as one of those old dormer camper vans,
The old VW bus.
Yeah. Not quite as bad as that, but colourful. And on the back, it said University of Surrey Students Union Guild.
Well, you see, they can't have a proper university.
And I'm thinking, what the fuck are you doing spending money on a colourful car? Yeah. You're students. Yeah. You're not supposed to have any spare money.
Yeah.
So I think...
But the Students' Union's got loads of money, right? Because they get fed money by the National Union of Students, the NUS.
Yes.
And the students who go to the university all pay a subscription to be members of the NUS. And they got loads of money.
And then they promote massive left-wing policies and try to bring down democratically elected governments, because that's what people do when they're students, right? Students are bums, mostly. When I was at Newcastle, I got appointed university's reporter for about a month.
I bet they loved that.
So I used to go to the Newcastle University Student Union.
Yeah. And drink all their subsidised beer.
Yes, that's right. And Newcastle Polytechnic Student Union. And I used
to
get...
Did you ever take up with any students?
Yes, I did. Yes.
Did you?
Yes, a couple, yeah. Uh-huh. But I used to get completely bladderated with these guys because they had loads of free booze.
That's right.
They walk in the Students Union bar... And they're some of the biggest bars in the world, right? Because that's the Student Union. And they just keep ordering it, and he went on tab. Yeah. Oh, well, he's the president of the Students'
that's
Union.
Right.
So that was a great place to get completely pissed, right?
And it was very cheap as well.
Very cheap
particularly
indeed.
Particularly if you weren't paying.
And when I said, no, you know, got any good stories for me? Oh, yeah, yeah. We're mounting a march a week on Saturday against pig farmers.
That's right.
We ain't bastard pig farmers, you know? And most of Northumberland has got pig farmers and sheep farmers in places like Wooler and all that kind of stuff. Wooler. No, Wooler's a little town up in Northumberland where only about eight people live.
Yeah, that's right.
And a lot of sheep. And so, students really don't even know they're alive. In fact, the bastards should do 2-year courses, not three, and not do just like 8 hours a week, should do fucking 40 hours a week.
Okay, you still seem very angry. I don't know why.
No, I'm not angry.
How about this from EFC? Porky, how would your all time Everton 11 line up? You don't necessarily have to fulfil all of it.
Well, it's very difficult that. It's very difficult that because everybody's got a different decision.
Well, presumably Pickford's in goal.
No, maybe not.
Neville Southall will be
exactly.
in goal.
Safe to say, there are four or five absolute critical players. Neville Southall, obviously.
Yeah.
Alan Ball, obviously.
Yeah.
Dixie Dean, obviously. Yeah. And after that, it's a huge debate as who you'd put in them team. Ray Wilson was the 1966 left fullback who died recently.
Leighton
Baines. God rest his soul. I don't think Leighton Baines would, to be honest, with great respect, because Leighton Baines didn't play in a championship-winning team.
No, Kevin, not many people have, though.
No, no, Kevin Ratcliffe would have to be in there. Yeah. He captained us to two Premier League titles.
Andy Gray.
Andy Gray was a member of one of the Premier League title-winning teams. Lineker only stayed for one season.
Yeah, but he's still in the team, though,
isn't he? No, we won nothing in the season.
Yeah, but surely you'd put him in the team.
No, I wouldn't.
Really?
We won nothing in the season. It didn't fit in.
All right.
And Brian LeBone, England centre-half in 1970.
Duncan Ferguson?
No, not Duncan Ferguson, no. We had much better forwards. We had the Golden Vision, Alex Young. We had we had Joe Royle.
Yeah.
Joe Royle was eminently more successful than Duncan Ferguson.
Colin Harvey.
Colin Harvey, Howard Kendall, Alan Ball would have to be contenders, but it's a potpourri.
It is a potpourri. Brett, a political one here for you. Why, oh why, won't Theresa May, or any other politician for that matter, admit that all the evidence collated points towards Brexit being an unmitigated disaster?
Well, it's only a disaster if you oppose it. Mm. The thing is, it came in through a democratic vote put up by the idiot politician David Cameron.
Yes.
David Cameron did not need to offer us a referendum on Brexit the first year after he achieved a majority in government.
Put the whole thing to bed once and for all.
It was ludicrous.
Yeah.
And I tell you what I think's funny. A couple of, like a week and a half ago, two weeks ago, the Stay campaign got fined £16,000 for overspending on their expenses.
Yeah.
Bloody David Cameron spent 9 million quid of government money sending
leaflets.
You mean
the Leave campaign, not the Stay campaign?
I meant the Leave campaign. Yeah, the Leave campaign got fined about 16,000 quid for overspending.
Well, they've been reported to the police now.
Reported to the police, yeah. However, the Stay campaign, led by David Cameron himself, such a fucking idiot that he had to resign as Prime Minister when it didn't work out for him, right? He spent £9 million pushing a leaflet through every household door in this country, urging people to stay. And he still couldn't get it right.
He still couldn't.
So my answer to that is, why don't we accord with the democratic wish of the people of this country? Do you know why?
Why?
Because most of the decision makers and the opinion formers live in bastard London, in Islington.
Do you know how many times you've said bastard now?
In Islington. And places, what are all those other North
Notting
London?
Notting Hill?
Not Notting Hill.
Hampstead?
No, the North London places, you know, like...
Well, they're all in North London.
No, it's not, they're called something else. Muswell Hill.
Muswell Hill?
They all live in Muswell Hill.
Muswell Hill at all.
And the people of, the great people of the great north of England, the great salt of the earth, rock and solid...
The ones who all voted to leave.
England, who voted to leave, are being told, you're only little people and you don't know your own mind.
Yeah.
We're going to tread on you and keep us in Europe.
Yeah.
Disgraceful.
Mm. Dave says, hypothetically speaking, if you had a locked room, what would you keep in it?
Not answering the question, because I don't have a locked room. Stupid little myth put around by you, entry.
Not true. There is a locked room.
There is no locked room.
I've witnessed it.
No, you haven't. And that's a lie. You have never. You have had the hospitality of my place down in Gosport. You've had the hospitality of my sister's house in Bournemouth.
I have.
And yet you mock and say it's a locked room. There is no locked room.
Well, all right. Well, we'll have to differ on that. Josh says this, another football-related question. Will Nottingham Forest get promoted this year? So far, we've made 9 signings, and apparently Karanka wants 2 more.
Mm.
He's not, top man, Karanka.
Karanka. Yeah. He is not a, you know, I mean, let me just say this.
Don't be a complete Karanka.
Nottingham Forest have been so badly run over the last 15 years that I cannot see any hope of them achieving promotion from the Championship this season. When you walk into the foyer of Nottingham Forest Football Club, as I have done, there are 2 European Cups in 2 glass cases in the foyer.
Mm.
That's how magnificent Brian Clough made Nottingham Forest.
He did.
And they, by the way, were back-to-back, you know? In 2 consecutive years, they were European champions.
Very difficult to do.
So it means they were European champions for 3 years.
Yeah.
Because you win it the first time for a year, you win it the second time for a year, you are 3 years European champions until somebody else beats you.
Yeah.
How could a club like that possibly lose that eminence?
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest will not be promoted from the Championship.
I fear you may be correct. Wardy says this, Mike, I've been working nights for 11 months now. When will I stop feeling like a zombie?
If you're working nights, you have to readjust your body clock. Not a difficult thing to do. I spent years literally getting up at 3:30 in the morning with Mr. Alan Brazil, who got up at like 5:30. Excuse me. And then going into work and working till 6 at night, then going home, going to bed at 9:30 and getting up at 3:30.
Yeah.
Because I work for 6 days a week on the TalkSport breakfast show. Mm. That's why it became so good.
Yeah.
Me and Mr. Brazil.
Okay.
And the only other time I achieved such...
He said modestly.
Yes.
You know, you're not really supposed to big yourself up.
The only other time I achieved such eminence in broadcasting was working with yourself when we created the 2 mics.
Indeed.
And we got record figures in the mid-morning slot. Yes. And people were downloading 1 million of our podcasts a month.
They were.
We achieved great things.
Yes.
Unfortunately,
we
there are people
zombies,
around.
Though, because a lot of that was done overnight.
A lot of it was done overnight. A lot of it was done was a lot of imbibing of red and white wine.
Indeed.
But unfortunately, people sometimes don't recognise these things because they have agendas. And I don't care about your agendas because the 2 mics are coming back big style
very soon. He used to play for Newcastle, didn't he?
Agenda.
Wasn't he...
Bring me a girl called Brenda.
Paul says, Mike, after the Trump visit to the UK, if you had the opportunity to fly a giant baby blimp wearing a nappy over the Thames, who would it be and why?
I wouldn't do it. It's just pathetic and childish and petty and Who are you bigging up? Are you bigging up yourself when you decide to insult and try and humiliate, which you don't humiliate, a powerful man in the world? All you do is humiliate yourself for allowing it to happen. Mm. Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, I think is a weak, vacillating, unimpressive and desperately talentless politician.
Yes. Gren says, what's on your bucket list, Porky, and why? I.e., maybe three things that you'd like to do in life before you die.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a morbid subject.
No, it's not. I always wanted to become a helicopter pilot, and I would have done, had I not had to deal with other issues along the way. If I live to the age of 70, that will be a huge achievement for me, because I suffer from acute heart failure and diabetes.
How
and
many
the diabetes
years
is getting worse.
70?
I can't tell you that because it's irrelevant.
Right.
And my third wish in life would be to see Everton Football Club win another title before I expire.
I think the last one you got no chance. Working on backwards from another list. Adam says, was Porky ever the lead rower at the King's School Rowing Club?
No, I was never in the rowing club.
Why not?
I didn't row. I played football. I was the midfield general of the King's School Chester First 11 for two seasons.
Yes.
That's an amazing achievement. I didn't miss a game in two seasons. Mm. You've already seen the King's School Chester annual magazine in which I'm complimented for having done all
that. That's true, I have seen that.
I had a mate at Chester called Terry Melia, and Terry was always the guy that everybody looked up to.
Yes.
He was the first boy, believe it or not, because we were at school together from 8 till 18, he was the first boy who came to school in long trousers, can you believe that?
Mm-hmm. Eh?
He was the first boy who ever sort of said, let's have a temping bowling party at the bowling lane.
Oh, yeah.
And turned up with a cravat, you know, and a sort of 1960s type jacket and all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
He was the first guy to have a girlfriend. He was a very good footballer, but then decided he wanted to be a rower, and he went off and joined the rowing club, became the top rower. He was also, during the summer holidays, from the age of 14, a boy golfer and became Welsh champion.
Mm.
Yeah, he lived in Wrexham, and he used to play around all the Welsh courses in boys' competitions.
Okay.
He was a top guy.
All right. Mm. Here's one from somebody called Summers. He says,
Summers?
I've got a question to ask you, Porky, and I'm interested in your view. Mm. What do you think about Staffordshire Bull Terriers being labelled as dangerous dogs, which is what other people want? It's the owners who need controlling. My dog is the most placid and sociable dog ever.
If there's even a hint that a dog is going to be uncontrollable and a dog's going to be nasty and vicious, and plenty of Stafford Bull Terriers have been, then I say don't keep the dog as a pet.
Hmm.
I had a very good mate who had two Dobermans, right?
Oh, yeah.
And Dobermans are regarded as very dangerous dogs.
Well, they're quite vicious, aren't they?
They're quite vicious and all that. He lived in a big house in the Midlands, right?
Hmm.
He had two Dobermans.
Yeah.
And one time, when I'd stayed over on a Friday, we took the dogs for a walk on a Saturday down to the pub, right?
Okay, did you put them on a lead?
Down lovely country lane, on a lead and all that. I was so terrified, I stayed 30 yards back. He said, no. He said, they are literally as soft as blancmange.
Mm.
These dogs will not. Now, the only thing
they're
that worries me...
They're quite scary looking, aren't they?
They're very scary looking. The only worries me about dogs like that is, a dog, as we all know, or any animal that's domestic, can suddenly snap. And if it attacks a child, if there's only 0.01% of that dog snapping and attacking another human being, particularly a child, don't have that dog in your house. Stafford Bull Terriers look so menacing and threatening.
Mm.
And by the way, it doesn't help that thick-headed, bald, stupid, tattooed wankers keep these dogs on a chain.
Uh-huh.
They don't feed them properly, and they point them at people so the dog growls.
Yeah, it snarls.
They are complete wankers. Yeah.
Mm. Here's one from Rick who says, I've temporarily swapped the slums of Mexico City for the coastal glory of St. Ives, but I've become aware of a different type of thief, and it is the seagull. What is all right to do to keep seagulls away?
You've got to be clever with seagulls. You can walk down the pier or the front, and any coastal town in this country, including Portsmouth or Gosport, where I live, and if you're holding food in your hand, that seagull can swoop and it can get your food.
Yeah.
So all you've got to do is be clever, i.e.
You remember the story of the one that nicked my sunglasses?
Nicked your sunglasses, absolutely right.
Shocking state of affairs.
It's a shocking state of affairs, shouldn't go on. But I mean, look, don't criticise the animal, criticise the environment in which it lives.
Mm.
We all love seagulls because they go, whoa, oh, over coastal towns. So when you get there...
They're very noisy, actually. I don't like
them. Yeah, but the point
they're
is...
They're also huge, these things.
Yeah, they are. But when you get to a coastal town, two things let you know you're in a coastal town.
Yeah.
You get out of the car and you can smell the brine off the sea,
yeah,
which is beautiful. It comes in on the wind.
The salty sea.
Yeah, and the second is you can hear the... wah, 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 wah of the seagulls flying overhead. What would a beachside or coastal town be without our seagulls?
I quite like them without the seagulls, actually. Richard says, Porky, who would you have play Columbo in a new series if they made one?
Well, you can't replace Columbo because that was Peter Falk, one-eyed Peter Falk, who was a brilliant genius, who he executive edited
the programmes. Did you ever see him in programmes?
I think he wasn't even one of those Dirty Dozen films or something like that.
Really?
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
With Clint Eastwood or something like that. I think he was. Yeah, maybe. Just one. But I mean, if you said today who would replace him with, it would have to be with old Bob. What's his name? Except he's dead. Mm. You know, the guy who was in Mona Lisa.
Bob Hoskins.
Longwood Friday and all that kind of stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at a modern day villain who would replace Peter Falk, I would say your best option, because you've got to be quite smooth, quite smart, but at the same time quite bizarre and a bit scatty.
I think Johnny
Depp
would be
good at it.
Top
of his head and all that. No, Johnny Depp's finished.
Well, we'll talk about him another
time. Yeah, yeah. Now, I would say, you're asking me for a question. Yeah. Do you know what? I'd give it to Hugh Grant.
Hugh Grant?
Yeah. I don't like Hugh Grant as an individual, and he fights against press freedom and all that. But my God... He really did display his talents as an actor in the TV drama series about Jeremy Thorpe. Yeah.
Okay. How about this from Tim? My girlfriend works in Fleet Street,
yes,
and I normally meet her in the old Tipperary after she clocks off. Was this one of your old haunts? And if so, are there any tales to tell?
Well, there may be some Fleet Street tales out on TMTV.
Yeah.
Well, there are Fleet Street tales out. We might take in the old Tip. But let me tell you about the old Tip. That was the first place I met James Watson.
Oh, was it?
Yes, that's right.
He still hates you.
Yeah, he still hates me, because
I didn't like you then, and I don't like
you
now.
All right, thanks, Jim. Okay, that's fine. That was a Daily Express get-together. But basically, when I arrived in Fleet Street, I was a young cub reporter.
Yes.
And one lunchtime, I went out with another young cub reporter called Colin Bell, and he said, come on, we'll go to the Tip. He says, Jim gets in there. He's one of the good guys off the desk, you know. So we go in there, and there's no Jim on the ground floor. We go up the stairs, and there's Jim holding court, you know, and he's assistant news editor.
Ah, yes.
And in those days, you thought, fucking hell, assistant news editor.
Massive
of the Daily
executive,
Express,
yeah.
And I'm just a cub reporter, you know.
Well, you thought he was a massively important and powerful man.
Yeah, anyway.
You later found out he wasn't.
That's right. A few years later, he was alongside a guy called Brian Cascinella, who was even worse.
The fantasist.
Brian Cascinella was a fantasist. He kept telling people he had villas in Spain and all that, which nobody could ever find.
Right.
He used to say, yeah, go and stay in my villa. And they'd pack all their bags, fly out there. And where's the villa, Brian?
Yeah.
Oh, they must have knocked it down. I mean, it was pathetic, you know.
Yeah.
But... No, a few years later, when I'd become top reporter in London and then sent to America, worked with you for 2.5 years, then came back, then was made news editor, Jim Watson was still on the news desk.
Yes.
So I said, oh, Jim.
So you
got
rid of him?
I didn't just get rid of him. I said, what's the best story, Jim? I said, we've got evening conference coming up at 4 o'clock and you've been copy-tasting all day.
Mm.
You haven't told me about one fucking story. So what's the best story today, Jim?
Yeah.
You don't know, do you? Because you've been in a pub for 3 hours at lunchtime, haven't you?
Mm.
This will stop. Give me the best story now.
And what was his idea for the best story of the day?
I think it's a few deer have died in Richmond Park.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that wasn't the best story of the day.
He was hopeless.
One final question from John Porky. Do you think us Brits have more in common socially and ideologically with Americans or with our European cousins?
I've said it before and I'll say it again. I would have no objection to the United Kingdom becoming the 51st state of the United States of America.
What?
Because, well, it makes sense. Hawaii is as far away from the American coastline as the United Kingdom is from the American coastline.
Aloha.
The only difference is that Hawaii is twice as far away from the American capital, D.C., as the United Kingdom is.
Yes.
We could easily be the 51st state without stretching the parameters of the United States as 51 states. We have much more in common with the United States of America than we'll ever have with people who eat tomatoes. And aubergines.
I eat tomatoes.
And all that kind of stuff on the southern coast of the Mediterranean, which is a hot country. We don't want to be hot. We want to be
Cool. Well, I've got some news for you. They eat aubergines in America too. They just call them eggplant.
Yeah.
Just call them something different.
But they're not aubergines, are they?
No, they're not.
No.
This is the two mics. That was Ask Porky.
It was. I wouldn't want anything to do with Adolf Hitler, the most venomous and disgusting man in the history of the world.
Yeah.
If I walked into him and Adolf Hitler was there, I'd punch him in his fucking little mustachioed mouth.
You're
okay.
Very angry today.
Yeah.
It's a
I would. Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
Utterly terrific. You know, an icon like that. Vladimir Putin is a bit of a legend and all that kind of stuff.
A legend. How do you mean?
In terms of political mystery.
Mm.
So the guy I'd go for, without a shadow of a doubt, would be Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And the first thing I'd say to him, for a bit of a laugh, I'd say, Elvis, how are you? Good to see you. Please don't step on my blue suede shoes. It's just pathetic and childish and petty. And who are you bigging up? Are you bigging up yourself when you decide to insult and try and humiliate, which you don't humiliate, a powerful man in the world? All you do is humiliate yourself for allowing it to happen.
Mm.
Sadiq Khan, the mayor of London, I think is a weak, vacillating, unimpressive and desperately talentless politician.
Yes.
If you're, you know, going on your own or with a mate or something like that, beware of the demon drug that a Russian hooker could drop into your drink in a swanky hotel.
No, don't go to swanky hotels.
You could wake up in a bedroom with your wallet missing and maybe lots more.
And your dignity possibly as well.
If I live to the age of 70,
that
will be a huge achievement for me. Because I suffer from acute heart failure and diabetes.
How
and
many
the diabetes
years is that
is getting worse.
70?
I can't tell you that because it's irrelevant.
Right.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on Ego to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop Ego today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.